Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
Our broadcast today is entitled Trying the Spirits and comes to you from the pulpit of Flint River Primitive Baptist Church. This is a message that I delivered last weekend here at Flint River from the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'll read those passages for you. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. First of all, this passage is very relevant to us today, and as you will hear in today's message, we need to be aware of the influences that we have in our lives. Try the spirits, John would say. Be wary of the influences that we have and weigh what we are taught against the Word of God, seeking to obey Christ in all things, according to the Word of God, which throughly furnishes us unto all good works. In today's message, we emphasize the strength and the power that we have to overcome false teachings. Not only does the Word of God equip us, but the Holy Spirit lives in our heart, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are reliant on the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to stand against error in this day of falling away. And then lastly, the final thought that we see in this passage, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. This passage shows the necessity of the new birth to hear and believe the gospel in truth. We hope you find this message to be edifying. Here is today's message, Trying the Spirits. Let's read this passage together. We'll begin in 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby you know the Spirit of God through this. You know the Spirit of God through what? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The first thing I want to emphasize for you today is that John is speaking to people to whom he refers as what? Beloved. Beloved, John says in chapter 4 and verse 1, believe not every spirit. Now, I heard the words little children, and that's true too. He's speaking to little children, and he says it often in this epistle, even in verse 4, what we just read. He calls them what? Little children. Beloved little children of God. I want you to remember John's audience, and I want you to remember the audience of Scripture. Scripture is written It is given through inspiration of God that the man of God be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Scripture is not written to the unregenerate as the primary audience. How many times do people think the Word of God is sent out so that the unregenerate can become the regenerate? But the Word of God is written that the man of God be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is written to the child of God. Now, caveats. There are some statements in the Bible that are written to the wicked. There's an entire book in the Old Testament written to the nation of Edom. Its name is Obadiah, and in that book, it's not pleasant. He doesn't say, Edom, here's your chance. Here's your opportunity. If you would only but hear this message in turn, you would be spared, and you could go and be with God. When God wrote through Obadiah to Edom, what he says is, you have afflicted my people, and I am going to afflict you. And that was the word to Edom, the descendants of Esau. What does God say about Esau in the Bible? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I been a little indifferent to? He hated him with a perfect, righteous hatred, something that you and I cannot experience because we are sinful. And as he wrote to Edom, a nation he hated, he tells them that you're going to be judged. But generally, the Word of God is written for the man of God. When God wrote that to Edom, even though it went to people that he was going to destroy, ultimately it's for your reading. It's for your good. But the Word of God is written with the primary audience of God's children. Beloved, dearly beloved, believe not every spirit. Spirit, it's an interesting term. John doesn't say believe not every person, does he? Believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. It's interesting that he uses the word spirit and not person. Some commentators, John Gill for instance, are inclined to think that he means person, or maybe the ideas that proponents claim to be from the Holy Spirit, or practices they claimed to be from the Holy Spirit that were not from the Holy Spirit. And so some would have that opinion that as he says, believe not every spirit, he's simply talking about persons. But I rather am inclined to believe that what he is speaking about is the influence behind the influence. The influence behind the influence. And that word is so commonly used in our time today, isn't it? Influence. When people have a great following on one of those, and you know what I'm going to say, what is it that they call them? Influencers. They're putting it in the title, influencer. 9 out of 10 times, maybe more than that, 99 out of 100 times or 999 out of 1,000 times, the things that are being said in influence to younger people and middle-aged people and even older people around the world through the videos, the content that these people create is not from Christ. And so when I say this is so relevant today that it might as well be written for you tomorrow, this is relevant. Try the influencers. Let's put it in a modern spin. Try the influencers. Try the celebrities. Try the political figures that stand in podiums behind microphones. Try the preachers on TV and the radio. You know what? You can look like you are a credible, informed, scholarly individual by setting up an iPhone 15 in front of a decent background and recording a 2-minute video and publishing it online, and people think you know what you're talking about, and some people on there have no idea what they're talking about. What did God give us in the scripture that's supposed to be the influence in our lives as Christians? He gave us the ministry of the gospel. The ministry is who is to influence God's children in what they think and what they believe, and the ministry is bound by something. What are they bound by? The Word of God. The ministry is bound by the Word of God, and if we're true ministers, that's all we're going to preach and it's all we're going to teach. Try the influencers. Maybe I could date several of us in here and say that the influence behind the influence could be considered, in an idiom, the man behind the curtain. Maybe I should have entitled my message today, Pay No Attention to the Man Behind the Curtain. Who is influencing the influencer? Try the spirits, he would say. If this be the case, that rather than talking about the false prophets themselves, or the influencer, his or herself. This would mean that movements in the church and movements in the world have a spiritual cause that is invisible for us that we do not perceive in our own lives. You look around the world today and you don't see evil spirits floating through the air fighting for the minds of men, do you? Now, in the book of Daniel, Daniel prays, and I love to share this with you, and you could probably quote it as well as I can by now because I share it with you fairly often, several times a year. In the book of Daniel, Daniel is praying, he's fasting, A period of a couple of weeks goes by, and God has not answered him yet, and finally an angel appears to him, and he says, I have been tarried. I was tarried because I was doing battle with the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia there probably not being a man, but a demonic, evil spirit, some sort of fallen angelic entity that was influencing the prince of Persia. Unbeknownst to Daniel, at all times, there was a spiritual warfare invisible above him in the sky that is affecting all people. It's happening over your head right now and you don't even know it. There's an evil spirit waging a war against God's people that worship in this place. It's happening probably over our heads around this building right now and we have no idea. And if that doesn't make the hair on your neck stand up, pay attention because it's terrifying. Now, I don't come here today to scare you, but what is it that we read in the next verse to get a little bit ahead of myself? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. As fearsome as they may be, as influential as they may be, as terrifying as they may be, and as destructive as their influence can be and is, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. God is greater, and he lives in your heart. God is greater. Think about this from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, did Paul literally wrestle with demons? Did he literally go and what would a demon even look like to wrestle with you? A devil. They're never depicted in Scripture. In the physical sense, they're always inhabiting something else, whether it be a person or an animal. They're invisible, as it were. But when Paul is being beaten by the Jews that rejected Christ, demons were attacking him through the lives of those who were withstanding him. When he was stoned and left for dead, demonic forces were at work. When he was beaten outside the temple, when there were riots in Ephesus, great as Diana of the Ephesians. Yeah, there were people from Ephesus who were saying those things, but they were being influenced by invisible forces of darkness in this world. And it's about time the body of Christ wakes up and realizes that this is a real war that we are in. Paul wrestled not against flesh and blood, and yet every day there were men that withstood him physically. But the root of all of that were the dark principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, invisible forces of evil. The things that people believe in the movements in the world have a spiritual cause. And because of that, we need to beware. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a spirit behind the teaching of the false prophet. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. So let's provide a test that you and I can employ anytime there is an influence on the television, the radio, the computer screen, the smartphone, in print form, or face-to-face. What is it that I can employ as a litmus test to know whether this is somebody I should listen to or not? Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, I'm going to say something that might make you get on the edge of your seat and get a little nervous. I heard this years ago, and I'm going to say it because it's been in my mind all week. I used to listen to political talk radio every day. I was a land surveyor. There's a lot of time in the truck when you're a land surveyor. We would listen to the radio. And being conservative young men, active in politics, we listen to conservative radio. If you took a survey of the religious beliefs of those commentators that we listened to day in and day out, at the time that I was listening, one, the most popular, was an open theist, a sort of deist, but not a follower of Christ yet. He would be before he passed away. One was an outright professed New Age mystic. One was a Mormon. Mormons deny the divinity of Jesus Christ. That is not the gospel of Christ. It is heresy. One was a Christ-denying Jew. Do you think you're going to get God's gospel biblical truth when for 40 hours a week you are influenced by people who deny Christ? Another thing coming. And these are people I agree with politically. In fact, and I heard this said about 15 years ago, and it stuck with me because it convicted me in the moment. We listen to that all week, and then we show up and expect to hear the same thing from the pulpit. Getting antsy yet? Starting to squirm, preacher. You better back it up. Try the spirits. Try the spirits, because many false prophets are entered into the world. Before I listen to somebody with certainty, I want to know what they believe about my Christ. Many false prophets influence people in the world today. Don't think for a moment what they say about politics or any other thing is somehow compartmentalized away from thus saith the word of the Lord, because the word of God truly furnishes us unto what good works? All. There is no area of life that the Bible is silent on. Oh, it might not tell you which job to take, but it tells you men to work. It might not tell you which man to marry, ladies, but it tells you what type of man to marry. It might not speak about the issues that we have to face today specifically, but generally the principles are there. And I would be a fool to believe someone who denies this word, denies my Christ, and denies his creation of this universe. I would be a fool to think that they're going to tell me something and influence me in a way that is in alignment with thus saith the word of the Lord. I don't care what their perspective is. So my word to you is to beware. It's easy to spot the influence in someone that we don't agree with completely, right? But when it's somebody that almost believes everything you do, that's where the danger comes. That's where the danger is. If I were to go to McDonald's today and hand them, not that it makes much of a difference in terms of intrinsic value, $50 worth of Monopoly money, are they going to say, you know what, that looks pretty good, I think we'll take that and you can pay and get your, you know, Egg McMuffin and drive off? Now they're going to say, this is fake money. We're not going to take this. It's not U.S. currency. But if you make a counterfeit close enough to the original, it stands far greater likelihood of being passed off as real currency. Satan knows that if he masquerades around with a giant tail and pointed horns and a big pitchfork and he's 7.5 foot tall and red with black boots on, you'd be like, you know what, I think that's Satan. Suddenly, I don't think I want to listen to him. Let me tell you something, child. Wait a minute, you're kind of creepy looking. I think I'm going to back off and go stand over there a little while. But what does Satan transform himself into, according to Paul to the Corinthians? An angel of light. He's going to look as much like the real thing as he can to deceive you and destroy you. And my message for you today is beware. This is John's message to you today. Beware. Every spirit that confesseth not that Christ has come in the flesh is what? Not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, let's comment on that for just a moment. Those influences that don't acknowledge Christ have not come from Christ, and we should not listen to them in the least. Unless maybe they're teaching you something like algebra, where it has to be, okay, sure, my math teacher's an atheist, and they said 2 + 2 = 4. I guess they're right. That checks out. Fact checkers have proven this checks out. But as far as influences are concerned, if they don't confess Christ, then we should not listen to them. Specifically, however, in this case, what John is referring to, again, is early Gnosticism. Did you know Gnostics taught many things that looked and sounded and smelled like Christianity at the time? They met, Christians met. They taught a form of God's sovereignty and salvation. They did. But the Gnostics denied the humanity of Jesus, as they denied he had a physical form. He doesn't have a body, it just looked like a body. And there were several variations of this, Docetism,
Eventually, you would have Arianism, which denied his divinity. Gnostics denied his divinity. He's an in-between the real deity and humanity as some sort of an in-between. Well, is Jesus the intercessor? Yes, but he's the intercessor that was God who became man, not some sort of a demigod halfway in between being. They denied the divinity of Jesus. They influenced people. They bamboozled the Christians. They led them astray. And he says, listen to me. Do not entertain what they have to tell you. He would go on in 2 John to say, if they come and they knock on your door, do not receive them into your house. Do not bid them Godspeed. Send them away. When someone comes to your door and they deny that Christ is divine and human, the hypostatic union of divinity and humanity, God was made flesh, you do not bid them Godspeed. You don't let them into your house. Now, okay, let's be fair. In the first century, where did churches meet? They met in houses. What is he saying? Don't let them into your assembly. When your church gathers together and someone comes in with this doctrine, you tell them to leave. There are people who are turned away from church. If that were to hit the news today, they would make churches look like the devil incarnate. And they do. Anytime they learn of church discipline, the media runs with that. Somebody did something sinful, and those mean Christians told them they were not allowed to take communion anymore. Exactly. Because the Word of God says to do that. It's always like, breaking news, Christian obeys the Bible. Isn't the big problem most unbelievers have with Christianity that they're hypocrites? They don't really obey what they teach. And then when you do, what happens? They're hypocrites. They obeyed what they teach. Okay, you just can't win for losing. Can't win for losing. John says, don't receive the Gnostics. And that's his focus here. But I want to apply it to any influence that is not of Christ. It is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, he notes here, whereof you have heard that it should come. Recently, we devoted some time to that thought that the Antichrist should come. There are many Antichrists in the world, but there's coming a day in which the Antichrist, you might say capital A, is going to come. And the Word of God calls him the man of sin. It calls him the son of perdition. It calls him that wicked. Now, the man of sin, the son of perdition, and that wicked, what might you deduce from that? Well, he's a sinful, lawless person, for one. Number two, he is that wicked. That was the title of Antiochus, an evil Greek king in the Maccabean period between the Old Testament's conclusion and the beginning of the New Testament, and he sought to annihilate the Jews. He banned circumcision. He desecrated the temple of God. He was a wicked, godless man, but he's a political figure. What might we learn from son of perdition? Now, you listen to me. Put this in your mind because you need to be aware. He might come one day while you are alive, and you need to not be caught up in the strong delusion, because according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there will be sent a strong delusion in the day of the man of sin. He's that wicked, like Antiochus. He's a man of lawlessness and sin, the man of sin, and he's also the son of perdition. Who's the son of perdition? Judas Iscariot. What is Judas Iscariot? He's a fake Christian. So what if this coming Antichrist, the ultimate final Antichrist, is a king who's a fake Christian who is lawless and sinful? And you might be thinking, well, isn't that all of them? Well, my word to you is beware. My word to you is beware. You've heard that it's going to come, and it's even now already in the world. Let's begin shifting to the positive. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, in a real practical sense, the audience that John is addressing stayed with the church after the influence of the early Gnostics. And so they genuinely overcome them. Like, when you say you've overcome them, they tried to influence you, and you said no, and you went, you know, you sent them away. Like, they really did run these people out on a rail, as it were. Year of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You, beloved, are born of God And because of that, you have overcome the false teachers. What gives you the strength there? Now, look, there's a place for Bible teaching. There's a place for being catechized, as it were, to use a more theological term they used in church history. There's a place for being ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you. But ultimately, what gave these men and women the strength to stand against the false teachers in their day who sought to lead them astray? The power of the Holy Spirit within them. If I thought, wow, what a terrifying thing that my steadfastness in the great falling away, the apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2, that my steadfastness was based purely upon my adherence to the Word of God, my mental faculties, my ability to discern between truth and error. Let me tell you, I would be a man without much hope. Because every single one of us can be deceived. You know how we know we can be deceived? Because the Bible says over and over, what? Be not deceived. If I'm never going to be deceived because it's not possible, then why would God tell me, be not deceived? I can be deceived. But when I rely on the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart, I can stand against the false teachings. Even that which has come literally from Antichrist himself. I can stand in the evil day through the power of Christ that is within me. Ye are of God, little children. Now, I want you to think about the power of this verse. How do you overcome the false teachers or the influencers or the influences? And listen, it could be the influence to sin. It could be the devil that comes into your ear, young lady, and says, you're not enough. You need to change yourself so you're more. It might be the evil spirit that comes into your heart and into your ear, rather, young men, that says, you know what? You need to go and indulge in these sinful things for the high of doing it so you feel better about yourself as a young man. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the influencer. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the Antichrist. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the man at the party trying to get you to drink when you say, I can't handle a drink of alcohol. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the Gnostic. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the fake Christian political figure and their rhetoric. The Holy Spirit in you is stronger. And through that, you do what? You overcome. Through the Holy Spirit, you overcome. Just think of the power of that verse. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.